Hi, and welcome to Amazing Grace Christian Fellowship. My name is Fee Sullivan, Senior Pastor, and I truly want to thank you for joining us today as we study the Word of God. It is our desire that your life be touched today, and we pray that the Lord will speak to you with this message. And at the conclusion of this message, we have some important information for you. Please join me now as we begin our message.
So please, allow me to go before the throne room of grace. Father, in the name of Jesus, Lord, we bless you and praise you. Lord, we exalt you and magnify you. Lord, I'm asking God that you would just give us ears to hear and eyes to see what the Spirit is saying to the church. And we bless you and praise you in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name, amen, amen. Let's go back to the screen right here. And if you have your cell phones, put them on the off and silent position. I've entitled this evening's message, Aim to Preach the Gospel. Aim to Preach the Gospel. And we're going to be reading Romans chapter 15, verses 20 through 26. We're going to do our best to expound those verses. And are we ready? Let's get in our word. Here we go. Verse 20. And so I have made it my aim to preach the gospel, not where Christ was named, lest I should build on another man's foundation, but as it is written, to whom he was not announced, they shall see. And those who have not heard shall understand. This is Paul the Apostle preaching to the Roman church. And he has a whole audience of Gentile believers. Verse 22. For this reason, I also have been hindered from coming to you. But now no longer having a place in these parts, and having a great desire these many years to come to you. And whenever I journey to Spain, I shall come to you, for I hope to see you on my journey, and to be helped on my way there by you, if first I may enjoy your company for a while. But now I am going to Jerusalem to minister to the saints. Verse 26. For it pleased those from Macedonia and Achaia to make a certain contribution for the poor among the saints who are in Jerusalem. So let's go back and expound verses 20 through 26. Let's start with verse 20. And so I have made it my aim to what? Preach the gospel. This is where I got the topic. Not where Christ was named, lest I should build on another man's foundation. You see, saints, the reason for the extent of Paul's ministry was the driving ambition to share Christ in territories where the name of Christ has never been heard, and Paul was bold and not ashamed of Jesus. Hallelujah. Did you know we are not to be ashamed of God? How many believe that? How many believe that we should never be ashamed of the gospel? That we should be bold about our faith. That if God gives us an opportunity to share Christ, we need to say, oh God, use me at this moment that I may share you, that I may glorify your name. And so I found some supporting scriptures for this verse. Let's go there back on the screen here. Let's look at this. Look what I found in Psalm 37. The Lord knows the days of the upright, and their inheritance shall be forever. Okay, so we're going to live forever. I hope you know that. Look at this. They shall not be ashamed in the evil time. Let me just pause there. Let me just pause there right now. What is God saying? We live in some times of wickedness, don't we? So we are never to be ashamed of the gospel of Jesus Christ. Why? For it's the power of God unto salvation. The Bible is clear that if we are ashamed of Him, God will be ashamed of us. Wow. Not a good place to be. Can I get amen? Amen. Let's go back and complete this verse. Look at this. They shall not be ashamed in the evil time, and in the days of famine, they shall be satisfied. I don't care what condition we're in right now. Right now, as we speak, the economy is not as like it should be. Houses are not selling. A lot of things have been bogged down since this transition has taken over. It's going to take more than 100 days of our president to get back what was destroyed in 4 years. Can I get an amen?
Amen.
Look at this. They shall not be ashamed in the evil time, and in the days of famine they shall be satisfied. But the wicked shall perish. Say that with me. But the wicked shall perish. And the enemies of the Lord, like the splendor of the metals, shall vanish into smoke. They shall vanish what?
Away.
This is what God says will happen to all those who do not live right, that are not born again, that are not a child of God. They're the ones that laugh at you, mock you. They're the ones that bring a reproach to the cause of Christ. Look what I found in the book of Luke to support this. For whoever is ashamed of me and my words, of him the Son of Man shall be ashamed when he comes in his glory, his own glory, and his Father's, and of the holy angels. Wow. Wow. Listen. I understand if you don't want to say anything right now because, oh, I don't want to offend my family member. Oh, I don't want to offend my boss. I don't want to offend so-and-so. And yet God is saying, share me with them. They need to hear me. They need to know who I am. Listen, you don't want what we just read to happen to you and be caught ashamed of the gospel. Look what else I found to support this in Mark chapter 8. Look at this. Mark 8, 37. Oh, what will a man give in exchange for his soul? For whoever is ashamed of me and my words in this adulterous and sinful generation, of him, the Son of Man, also will be ashamed when he comes in the glory of his Father with the holy angels. Wow. And listen, the Lord could come back anytime. Can I get an amen? And when he comes, he's going to come with his angels. My question is, where is your position with God? Are you for him or against him? Are you ashamed of him? Or will you speak boldly of Christ Jesus, who lives in you, the hope of glory? Everyone needs to know. Everyone needs to have an answer. Can I get an amen? Of the hope that lies within you. We have the hope of glory living in us. So we should never be ashamed. Can I get amen? All right, so let's move on now. Let's go back here to the Word. Look what else I found in Romans. We read this earlier, much earlier. For I am not ashamed. Say that with me. For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. For it is the power of God to salvation for everyone who believes. For the Jew first, and also for who?
The Greek.
For in it, the righteousness of God is revealed from faith to faith, as it is written, the just shall live by faith. Can I get amen?
Amen.
You see, saints, Paul saw his mission as moving into the centers of many types of populations, starting a church, being sure it had a good foundation with boldness. That was his goal. That's why he was called one of the greatest apostles. And then allowing it to continue the work of evangelism in its area while Paul moved on to areas uncharted by the gospel. He went, how many remember the old program, Star Trek? Do you remember the beginning of it? Going places where no one has ever gone before? Okay, well, Paul was that. He went to places where the gospel was never preached. Boldly. Praise God. You see, my friends, other preachers would have brought the gospel to some areas that Paul had not gone to. And they would be involved in the follow-up and spiritual growth of the believers there. Why? Because there was many believers back at that time when the Holy Ghost was poured out. Did you know 3,000 got saved in one day? Just imagine, 3,000, and then they scattered, taking the gospel everywhere. You see, Paul did not want to move into those areas when it was more important for him to preach where people had not yet heard the good news. So he loved to go to uncharted places. So let's move on now to Romans 15, verse 21. And it reads, "But as it is written, to whom he was not announced, they shall see. And those who have not heard shall what?
Understand.
You see, Paul quoted from Isaiah. You know, he knew the Old Testament like the back of his hand. Can I get amen? How many are so blessed to know that Paul, the apostle, remember, he was Saul of Tarsus. He was a rabbi. He was the attorney of the day. The guy was filled with wisdom and knowledge from the Old Testament. But God said, I'm going to save him for my glory. So he was quoting Isaiah. Look at this. He was quoting Isaiah 52:15. So shall he sprinkle many nations. Kings shall shut their mouths at him. For what had not been told them, they shall see. And what they had not heard, they shall what?
Consider.
You see, Isaiah predicted how surprised the Gentile nations would be when they saw the humiliation and exaltation of God's servant, the Messiah himself. Paul uses this prophetic word to affirm the need for his missionary efforts to the Gentile saints. So let's move on to verse 22 of Romans chapter 15. Look at this. For this reason, I also have been what? Look at this. Been much hindered from coming to you. Okay, so he's telling us something hindered him. What comes to mind? Could it have been situations that were unforeseen? Could it be satanic influences? Could it be illnesses? Could it be sickness? We don't know. But we do know in Scripture some incidences that took place. You see, saints, because of his divine driving force to bring the gospel to people who had not yet heard the word of God, Paul had been delayed from going to Rome. He had much territory to cover in Asia Minor and around Greece. Now, you got to remember, there was no subways. There was no buses. They had no automobiles. There were no aircraft. Everything was either by walking, camel, donkey, or horses. That's it. And yet he covered all that region. That's why he's one of the greatest apostles. He covered all of Asia Minor, around Greece. And most likely that he postponed his trip to Rome because there was already a strong church there. Rome was a strong church. But look what I found in Thessalonians. Look at this. 1 Thessalonians 2:17. But we, brethren, having been taken away from you for a short time in presence, not in heart, endeavored more eagerly to see your face with great desire. Therefore, we wanted to come to you, but even I, Paul, time and time again. But who hindered him? Satan hindered us. Wow. Wow, old Slewfoot. Let me just say this, saints of God. When you have a made up mind to serve the Lord, you're going to get hindered by him. Why? Because he's trying to thwart what God has called in your life. He'll get you tired. He'll make you feel like you're lazy. He'll make you be foggy in your thinking. And once he deters you off, he's done his part. He's done his part. Old Slewfoot is cunning. Satan is cunning. And we see in Scripture that old Slewfoot himself hindered Paul to go to many other regions to preach the gospel. Look what else I found here. Look at this. In 2 Corinthians 4. Therefore, since we have this ministry, as we have received mercy, we do not lose heart. Saints of God, I'm here to tell you, Don't lose heart. Can I get an amen? Times will get tough. And there's going to be a heaviness at times. You're not going to want to go to church. You're not going to want to be in your word. You're not going to want to meditate. You're not going to want to do all the things that God has called you to do. But don't lose heart. But look at this in verse 2. But we have renounced the hidden things of shame, not walking in craftiness, nor handling the word of God deceitfully, but by manifestation of the truth, commending ourselves to every man's conscience in the sight of God. God is saying, you're going to be tempted. You're going to be tested. Be careful on the craftiness and the handling of God deceitfully. But look at this. Look at verse 3 right up here. But even if our gospel is veiled, it is veiled to those who are perishing. Did you know there's people in your life that you know? They're going to perish. They're perishing. Some of them may die without Christ. Look at those. Look, the word of God is true. It is veiled to those who are perishing, whose minds the God, look at that little g, of this age has blinded, who do not believe, lest the light of the gospel of the glory of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine on them. Unless God moves on them, guess what? They're not going nowhere. Saints of God, this is why we need to pray for them. This is why you need to come out to pray. This is why you need to come together in the unity of the faith and pray for those who have no desire to seek God. They have no desire to be with God. They have no desire to go to church. They won't be in a church service. They won't open up the word. Why? Because Satan has blinded them. They have no desire. And we cannot be in that position. We have to be stronger than that by the power of the Holy Spirit. Because God will strengthen us even when we don't feel like doing what God has called us to do. Can I get amen?
Amen.
Bible says, lay aside every weight and sin that so easily besets you and press. There are things that we got to do. We got to press toward the prize of the call in Christ Jesus. How many love olive oil? Olive oil can be used for so many wonderful dishes. Some people even drink a tablespoon of it. But guess what? In order to get that precious oil, it's got to go under pressure. It's got to be pressed. And in Israel, we saw an olive oil mill, didn't we? And they would put it on stone, and these big round stone wheels, they would have to push this wheel as it's turning and pressuring and squashing all the oil that's in those olives. There's a pressing that takes place, and then out comes this beautiful oil. This is what God is doing in our life. He's pressing us. Why? Because we're going to be engulfed with the fragrance of God. See, when you spend time with Him, when you press and you obey and you honor Him, you're going through that mill. You're being pressed. And then what is the outcome? The glory of God. Hallelujah. And the anointing is upon you. And guess what? Some people, they get jealous of that because they don't have it. And they want it. That's why they get mad at you. That's why they'll even curse you and say bad things about you behind your back. You know what? They're not jealous of you. They're jealous of the anointing. Because God has placed that anointing on us. Hallelujah. Thank you, God. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, God. Let's move on to verse 23 in Romans 15. Look at this. But now, no longer having a place in these parts and having a great desire these many years to come to you. Saints, at this point, Paul felt that enough local churches have been established throughout the whole region. Not just by him, but by other apostles and other missionaries. Praise God. That these churches could complete the work of the evangelism that needed. Listen, let me just say this. Praise God for the evangelists back then. You know why? Because we have the word today. Can I get amen? Some of them died in their faith so that we can have it 2,000 years later. You know how many of them risked their lives? You know how many Romans and unbelievers at that time wanted to destroy them and kill them, led by Satan? And yet, because of their obedience, because of their faithfulness, because of their diligence, because of their heart for the living God, you and I have the Word of God today. Praise God. Amen. Hallelujah. And guess what? When we will see them face to face. There's going to be people that we don't even know. And they're going to greet us and say, you know what? It was all for you. Welcome. Welcome to the joy of the Lord. We're not going to know a lot of them. But they're gonna come to us and they're gonna introduce themselves to us. These are the ones that we don't even know about in the Word of God. And yet they're there because of their obedience. When 3,000 got saved, do you know the 3,000 names? No. But God said they're saved, so they're there already. Because 2,000 years have passed. So they're there. Praise God. Praise God. And because Paul felt that his work in the regions of Jerusalem and Greece had been finished, and because of the great desire to meet the believers in Rome, he chose to visit them on his next trip. Look what he wrote in 1 Corinthians 16 right up here. He goes, "Now I will come to you when I pass through Macedonia, for I am passing through Macedonia, and it may be that I will remain or even spend the winter with you, that you may send me on my journey wherever I go. For I do not wish to see you now on the way, but I hope to stay a while with you if the Lord permits." He was always writing to many of the churches because he couldn't be there all at once. But he wanted to be with the saints. Praise God. Praise God. Why? Because many of those churches he established himself. And then he left it with the elders to continue. But he heard great reports. Praise God. The fact that he knows so many of them personally is a reason enough for his desire to go back and give them all a hug. Let me just say this. For me, it's been about 36 years walking with Christ. And there were so many people in my first year that I met. You know, a lot of them had a big influence on my life. And you know what I would love to do, like Paul's, what we're reading about? Just go back, find them, and give them a hug. Say, thank you. Thank you for being that part in my life during that time. Praise God. They're around. You know the people in your life that you started out with? They were a blessing to you. Can I get amen? And they will always be a blessing because God put them in your life. God puts blessed people in your life. I hope you know that. So let's move on to verse 24 in Romans chapter 15. And it reads, "Whenever I journey to Spain, I shall come to you, for I hope to see you on my journey and to be helped on my way there by you, if first I may enjoy your company for a while." You see, saints, the planned destination of Paul's next trip was going to be in Spain. He wanted to go to Spain. You know, a lot of Asia Minor and a lot of Europe, it's a vast area. Macedonia is over there where the war is taking place right now, in the Ukrainian area. So on the way, he will stop off in Rome to fellowship with the believers there. Look what I found in 2 Corinthians right up here. And this is the confidence I intended to come to you before, that you might have a second, what, benefit. To pass by way of you to Macedonia, to come again from Macedonia to you, and be helped by you on my way to Judea. Look at this. Therefore, when I was planning this, did I do it lightly? Or the things I plan? Do I plan according to the flesh? That with me there should be yes, yes, and what? No, no. Praise God. But look at verse 18. But as God is faithful, say that with me. God is faithful. But as God is faithful, our word to you was not yes and no. For the Son of God, Jesus Christ, who was preached among you by us, by me, Silvanus, and Timothy, was not yes and no, but in him was what? Yes. Hallelujah. Let me just say this. Christ, the living hope, is in you. So God said, yes, go and preach the gospel. Yes, share the word of God. Yes, feed the homeless. Yes, tithe unto God. Yes, do all the things he's called you to do. And he will bless you. Hallelujah. You see, my friends, apparently Paul did not plan to stay long in Rome. But he hoped that the believers there would send him on his way as he continued to Spain. You know, he counted a lot of people supporting his ministry. Can I get an amen? Listen, let me just say this. In the 17 years of being a pastor and serving God at Amazing Grace, many of you wonderful saints have supported us all the way through this. We didn't do it on our own. It was but the grace of God, the power of God, and it was your support that continues us being here. Can I get an amen? Amen. And this is why Paul was saying, you guys supported me. You see, this statement should dispel any concern that Paul would try to assume some sort of permanent leadership position or take advantage of the church hospitality. Instead, he was planning on to move through to the next uncharted territory for the gospel at the western limit of the Roman Empire. It was his desire to preach the word. It should be our desire. Can I get amen? Thank you, God. Spain was a Roman colony, and there were Jews there. Paul wanted to take the good news there. That's why he was writing. That's why Spain is mentioned here in chapter 15. Also, Spain had many great minds and influential leaders in the Roman world. Lucan, Martial, Hadrian, and perhaps Paul thought of Christianity would advance greatly in such a wonderful atmosphere. Amen. So let's move on now to verse 25 of Romans 15. But now I am going to where? To Jerusalem to minister to the saints. Whoo! Thank you. Thank you, God. Man, Paul knew how to edify and build up a life. See, God saved him from destroying people. Flipped his heart, and now he's building people up. He's edifying them. Hallelujah, by the gospel. Paul was indefinite about exactly when he would visit Rome because he was busy with another matter at the present time. Paul was on his way to Jerusalem from Corinth, where he had most likely written this letter that we're reading from him. And he had been in that city for about 3 months with a delegation of men chosen by each church to take a gift from those churches to the Christians in Jerusalem. Praise God. Look what I found in Acts right up here to support this scripture. Acts 22 through 3. Look at this. It says, now when he had gone over that region and encouraged them with many words, he came to Greece. Stayed 3 months. And when the Jews plotted against him as he was about to sail to Syria, he decided to return through Macedonia. So once again, we're seeing that many times he had well intentions to go to a certain region, but he was hindered, huh? There was a hindrance right there. Look at that. The Jews plotted against him when he was about to sail to Syria. So he decided to return through Macedonia. Praise God. Look at in Acts 24 here. This being so, I myself always strive to have a conscience without offense toward good, toward God and men. Now, after many years, I came to bring alms and offerings to my nation, in the midst of which some Jews from Asia found me purified in the temple, neither with a mob nor with tumult. Wow. Wow. Look what I found in 1 Corinthians 6, 1 and 4. Now concerning the collection for the saints, as I have given orders to the churches of Galatia, so you must do also. On the first day of the week, let each of you lay something aside, storing up as he may prosper, that there be no collections when I come. And when I come, whomever you approve by your letters, I will send to bear your gift to Jerusalem. But if it is fitting that I go also, they will go with me. See, he gathered collections. It was the saints that helped him. It was the saints that provided a way to help the ministry go forward. As I just mentioned, over all these years of serving, it has been you. And you and you and you and all of you who have helped us lift our hands in prayer and have supported our ministry to what? To continue to preach the gospel that souls will be saved, baptized in Jesus' name, and filled with the Holy Ghost. Can I get an amen? I won't baptize in any other. There's no other name given among men whereby we must be saved. Can I get an amen? Hallelujah. It's got to be the name.
Jesus.
And what's the name? Jesus. No other name. No other name. Hallelujah. Thank you, God. Look what I found in 2 Corinthians 9:13. While through the proof of this ministry, they glorify God for the obedience of your confession to the gospel of Christ and for your liberal sharing with them and all men. See, they were liberal and they were giving. Praise God. In their lives, how they sowed into the ministry. Thank you, God. Paul considered his delivery of this offering an act of worship. This is why we give unto the Lord. It's an act of worship. Can I get amen? Indeed, it was a fitting climax to his ministry in the east before he moved to the west. So, we're going to look at one more verse tonight in verse 26. And it reads, "For it pleased those from Macedonia and Achaia to make a certain contribution for the poor among the saints who are," where? "In Jerusalem." You see, saints of God, Paul had collected voluntary offerings from various churches, praise God, including the ones in Greece. And he would be taking that offering to the poor Christians in Jerusalem who were going through such hard times. The Gentile believers had collected an offering for the Jewish believers in Jerusalem because they loved the Jews. And these Gentile churches were very glad to do this because they felt they owed a real debt to the Jewish church in Jerusalem for preaching the gospel. The Gentiles had received the gospel, spiritual blessings, originally from Jerusalem, where Christianity began. So they wanted to offer financial help to the needy poor there. Praise God. Praise God. And not only that, saints, but Paul hoped that such generosity and caring among the churches would strengthen the ties between them. The Jerusalem church, obviously made up of Jews, at first had a difficult time even accepting the ministry to the Gentiles. Did you know? Let me just share this. And I found this wonderful story in the book of Acts, and we'll close with that. But when the gospel was first preached and 3,000 souls were saved, there wasn't Gentiles in that group. Because when Peter preached his first sermon, it was during the feast of what? On Pentecost. The word of God says in Acts that on that day, on had fully come. They were all in one accord and one mind, right? 120 were up in the upper room. And then when they got filled with the Holy Ghost, Peter came out and preached. And the Bible says 3,000 got saved. There weren't no Gentiles there. Gentiles didn't celebrate the seven feasts of the Lord. They were heathens. The Old Testament was only for the Jews. Gentiles back then were considered rag dolls. But see, something had to happen. God had to intervene here. And we're going to look at this story, and then we'll close. But this story, man, God had just brought it up to my attention. I go, you got to look at this. Because God had to speak to this Jewish born-again believer to look at Gentiles as no longer unclean. They didn't want to come into a Gentile's home. Why? I'm not going to that house. They eat pig. They eat carnitas over there. So turn with me to Acts chapter 10. Let's go to Acts 10. And we're going to look at this story, starting with verse 1. Let's read it. I got it up here if you don't have your Bible. There was a certain man in Caesarea called Cornelius, a centurion of what was called the Italian regiment, a devout man and one who feared God with all his household, who gave alms generously to the people and prayed to God always. So this guy, not even baptized, not even born again, still had a desire for the things of God. Look at this. About the ninth hour of that day, he saw clearly in a vision an angel of God coming in and saying to him, Cornelius. Look at this. And when he observed him, he was afraid and said, what is it, Lord? So he said to him, your prayers and your alms have come up for a memorial before God. Now, send men to Joppa and send for Simon, whose surname is Peter. He is lodging with Simon, a tanner, whose house is by the sea. He will tell you what you must do. Look at God speaking to a Gentile. Huh? Look at verse 7. And when the angel who spoke to him had departed, Cornelius called two of his household servants, a devout soldier from among those who waited on him continually. So when he had explained all these things to them, he sent them to Joppa. The next day, as they went on their journey and drew near the city, Peter went up on the housetop to pray about the sixth hour. Look at this. Verse 10. Then he became very hungry and wanted to eat. But while they made ready, he fell into a trance and saw heaven opened, and an object like a great sheet bound at the four corners, descending to him and let down to the earth. Just imagine, you're on a roof and you're seeing this. It's like a vision. Look at verse 12. In it were all kinds of four-footed animals of the earth, wild beasts, creeping things, and birds of the air. And a voice came to him, "Rise, Peter, kill and eat." But Peter said, "Not so, Lord, for I have never eaten anything common or unclean." Okay, so God was using food as an analogy here, huh? Look at this. Verse 15. And a voice spoke to him again, the second time. "What God has cleansed, you must not call what? Common." This was done three times, and the object was taken up into heaven. Now while Peter wondered within himself what this vision which he had seen meant, behold, the men who had been sent from Cornelius had made inquiry for Simon's house and stood before the gate. Uh-oh. God's setting up something here, isn't he? Look, this is God setting up a situation. Look at verse 18. And they called and asked whether Simon, whose surname was Peter, was lodging there. While Peter thought about the vision, the Spirit, look at the capital S. Is that Holy Spirit? Yes. The Holy Spirit said to him, "Behold, three men are seeking you. Arise, therefore, go down and go with them, doubting nothing, for I have sent them." Then Peter went down to the men who had been sent to him from Cornelius and said, "Yes, I am he whom you seek. For what reason have you come?" Look at verse 22. And they said, "Cornelius, the centurion, a just man, one who fears God and has a good reputation among all the nation of the Jews, was divinely instructed by a holy angel to summon you to his house and to hear words from you." Uh-oh. "Then he invited them in and lodged them. On the next day, Peter went away with them, and some brethren from Joppa accompanied him." Okay. So we're looking at two different scenarios here before we continue. We see Cornelius had a visitation from an angel, and Peter had a vision, huh? One was a Gentile, one was a Jew. Let's continue. Verse 24. And the following day they entered Caesarea. Now Cornelius was waiting for them and had called together his relatives and close friends. Uh-oh. We're going to have a party over here. Look at this. And Peter was coming in. Cornelius met him and fell down at his feet and worshipped him. But Peter lifted him up, saying, "Stand up. I myself am also a man." Wow. Wow. Look at verse 27. And as he talked with him, he went in and found many who had come together. Then he said to them, "You know how unlawful it is for a Jewish man to keep company with or go into one of another nation. But look what he says. But God has shown me that I should not call any man common or unclean." Woo, tell that to Rabbi. Look at verse 29. Yes, tell that to Rabbi. Look at verse 29. "Therefore, I came without objection. As soon as I was sent for, I asked, 'Then for what reason have you sent me?' So Cornelius said, 4 days ago I was fasting until this hour, and at the ninth hour I prayed in my house, and behold, a man stood before me in bright," what? "Clothing." Look at verse 31. "And he said, 'Cornelius, your prayer has been heard, and your alms are remembered in the sight of God. Send therefore to Joppa and call someone here whose surname is" what? "Peter. He is lodging in the house of Simon, a tanner by the sea. And when he comes, he will speak to to you. Look at verse 33. So I sent to you immediately, and you have done well to come. Now therefore, we are all present before God to hear all the things commanded you by God. Then Peter opened up his mouth and said, in truth, I perceive that God shows no partiality, but in every nation, whoever fears him and works righteousness is accepted by him. Uh-oh. Remember, Peter preached the first sermon on the day of Pentecost. Now he's preaching in a Gentile house. They had a little Bible study there. Look at verse 36. The word which God sent to the children of Israel, preaching peace through Jesus Christ, for he is Lord of all. That word you know, which was proclaimed throughout all Judea and began from Galilee after the baptism which John preached, how God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Spirit and with power, and who went about doing and healing all who were oppressed by the devil, for God was with him. Wow. 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 What else does it say there? Who's got verse 39? Bring that to me, because I forgot to put this down here.
And it says, and we are witnesses of all things which he did both in the land of the Jews and in Jerusalem.
Yes.
Whom they killed by hanging on a tree.
Yes.
Him God raised up on the third day and showed him openly. Not to all the people, but to witnesses chosen before by God, even to us who
Preach what?
And to testify. That it is he who was ordained.
Who was ordained
by God to judge.
Of the living and the dead.
To him all the prophets witnessed.
Yes, all the prophets witnessed.
That through his name.
That through whose name?
Jesus.
Whoever believes.
Will receive
what?
Remission
of sins. And so all of the house of Cornelius was baptized in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Baptized in Jesus' name. Woo! There is power in the name. There's deliverance in the name. There is salvation in his name. Can I get an amen?
Amen.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. This is why I truly believe that throughout all these years, God sent souls here to be baptized in Jesus' name. Can I get an amen?
Amen?
Hallelujah. We don't baptize in titles. We baptize in the wonderful name of Jesus. For there's no other name given among men whereby we must be saved. Hallelujah. Thank you, God. Thank you, God. God sent, hallelujah, a born-again believer, a Jewish believer, to a Gentile house. Hallelujah, where at one time they would not go into a house. Why? Because it was considered dogs. But hallelujah, God said, what I have called clean, you cannot call unclean no more. Can I get amen?
Amen.
Hallelujah, thank you, God. Come on, give God a shout of praise. Hallelujah, the house.
Thank you, Lord.
Woo! Thank you, God.
Thank you, Jesus.
Thank you, Lord.
Wow.
You may be watching this tonight. And maybe you logged in, and just maybe you've never given your heart to the Lord Jesus Christ. I'm going to ask the Amazing Grace family that's here with me to pray with me, to pray for you, that you would give your heart to God, and that you would find a church that would baptize in the name of Jesus. There's no other name that can save you. No other name, hallelujah, that I would want to be baptized under. Can I get amen?
Amen?
Hallelujah. Thank you, God. I thank God for North Park Apostolic Church for baptizing me in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins. Hallelujah. Thank you, God. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, God. And maybe, just maybe, you need to be saved. And you want to be saved. And you want to be baptized in Jesus' name. I'm going to give you that opportunity. First, to receive God and to pray. And so, Amazing Grace family, pray with me that someone that may be watching tonight would cry out and fall on their face and ask God to save them. So pray this prayer by faith and watch God do the miraculous in your life. Dear Lord Jesus, I thank you, God, for my life. I do believe on your death, burial, and resurrection. I believe that you died for me, and the blood that you shed on the cross will cleanse me from all my sins. Lord Jesus, I ask you now, God, to forgive me for every sin. Come into my heart. Make me a new person in Christ Jesus. And from this day on, I will do my best to honor you and to follow you all the days of my life. In Jesus' name. Amen. Come on, give God a shout. Hallelujah. Woo, is he worthy?
The Bible says, repent and be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remissions of sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. For the promise is unto you, and to your children, and to all that are afar off, as many as the Lord God will call. And that's our exhortation to you. We have many ministries available here for you at Amazing Grace Christian Fellowship. For a complete list of them, and to download all of our messages and sermons, please log on to our website at www.acts2-38-39.com. Or email us at amazing_grace@cox.net. From all of us here at Amazing Grace Christian Fellowship, may God bless you and thank you for listening.